Grace and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A few years ago, zombie movies and vampire movies were very popular. Dead people staggering around saying, "Brains." Superpowered undead creatures swooping in to suck your blood. Very popular. When you talk to people about rising from the dead, especially around Halloween time, that's the sort of picture that they have in mind. But when we Christians talk about people rising from the dead, we have in mind something entirely different. And the Lord shares that with us today in the gospel reading appointed for this Saints Triumphant Sunday, John chapter 5, beginning at verse 25, and I would invite you to rise as I read our sermon text. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment." So far, our sermon text. Let us pray. O Lord, these are your words, and they are truth. Sanctify us by the truth. Amen. You may be seated. Fellow redeemed, Jesus brings us from death to life with his word. But it's not what the world has dreamed up. We're not going to be bitten on the neck. We're not going to have our consciousnesses transferred into computers to live forever in silicon. We're not going to wake up in our cryostasis pods either. And we're certainly not going to stagger about looking for brains. Jesus has something far, far better in mind for us. Jesus will bring us from death to life with his word. Now, to understand this properly, we need to recognize that there are different kinds of dying, and there are different kinds of hearing, and there are different kinds of living. God's word must inform us about the proper meaning so that we don't end up making a mockery of what Jesus is saying here. God's word must bring the truth of the matter home to us so that we do not deprive ourselves and the people around us from the comfort and assurance that the Savior wants us to have. First of all, let's think about what Jesus is talking about when he speaks of death and dying, because there are different kinds of death that are mentioned in the Scripture. Clearly, the Bible speaks about that most obvious kind of death, the kind of death that we're used to, the death that comes at the end of earthly life, when the soul is separated from the body and departs from time, and the body for a while rests in the grave as a lifeless lump of elements. This was the death that came to Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha in the Scriptures. When he died, his body was laid to rest in a tomb. And his sisters grieved, and even Jesus wept. It's a serious thing. Our congregation recently experienced this when our sister Dottie died. Last Monday, I was there when they laid her body to rest in Parker. This is the kind of death that you and I will most likely experience one day too, should the Lord not return first. This is the physical death. And this is the only kind of death that the world really can understand or recognize, because the world works entirely through sight and experience, and that's all it's ever seen. But it's not the only kind of death. In the Garden of Eden, in Genesis, God warned Adam and Eve not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day that they did that, they would surely die, it says. But clearly in chapter 3, when they ate the fruit of that tree, when they disobeyed God, they didn't fall to the ground, lifeless lumps of clay. They lived on for hundreds more years, in fact. But they did die a different kind of death that day, a spiritual death. In that moment, they were separated from God. Instead of harmony with the Lord, they tried from then on to sing their own melody, quite apart from God's plan. And they were at odds with Him from that moment on. To the eyes, spiritual death is no death at all. You can't tell the difference. But to those with spiritual life, those who have spiritual eyes, the eyes of faith to see with, to hear what God has to say about these things, well, spiritual death is a terrible thing to behold, worse even than the physical death. Spiritual death means separation from God, who's the very source of life. And it inevitably leads to that physical death too. The Bible tells us that we are spiritually stillborn from our parents, dead in our sins and trespasses, even more than that, at odds with Him, at enmity with God. So while we might have many years to live physically here on this earth, before we physically die, we might live that whole time with no spiritual life in us at all, already spiritually dead. Finally, there is eternal death. The scriptures speak of that too. And this is the kind of death that the rich man experienced in hell, where he was separated from every loving expression of God forever. This is the most terrible death. Those who die eternally experience God's anger forever. God's wrath over sin forever. And we can't possibly imagine what that's like. Jesus speaks about this death. He says, "It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." The Apostle John, in the Revelation, described it as a burning lake of sulfur. God never intended death for human beings. That was not His intent from eternity. But He said through King David's psalm, "He is not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with Him. The boastful shall not stand before His eyes. He hates all evildoers." It's pretty clear. He will not brook disobedience. He will not brook this self-determination of the human race. And His righteous decrees against sin and every evil cannot be argued with. But David continues in that psalm. He says, "But I, through the abundance of His steadfast love, will enter His house." Jesus said in our text, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." Clearly, those who hear the word of God's Son shall live with God and not die and not be separated from His love. That's what Jesus speaks to us today. But we have to think about what He means when He uses the word hearing His voice. What does that mean? Surely many people have heard the Word of God preached. Many people have read the Scriptures. Many people have heard God's Word in that sense. And you're all hearing it in that sense right now. I'm pushing air over my vocal cords and making sounds that go through the air and into your ears, and you perceive them. And you hear what God has said when I read the Scriptures and preach to you according to the Scriptures. But remember that Jesus often had to end his sermons with these words, "He who has ears, let him hear." Because even though many people heard him preach, many of those did not take his meaning. In fact, it is not within us to do much more than hear the sounds of God's word. Maybe it's possible for someone to logically figure out what the words mean, but to actually take the meaning into our hearts and to believe it and to know it to be true, that is simply beyond us. It's not natural for us, because by nature, we're spiritually dead in our sins and trespasses, the Scriptures say. We were born alive in the body, but dead to God. And we could no more take his word into our hearts than a corpse could take breath into its lungs. So how is it that we believe? How did this miracle come about that we have spiritual life and hear God's word and have spiritual eyes to see with? Well, the Apostle John writes at the end of his account of Jesus' life and death and resurrection, he writes, "These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Paul wrote, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." This word that we're listening to, this scripture, is not just inert ink on paper. When it's read, it's not just inert sound in the air. The Lord has spoken these words, and he has caused them to be written down so that we may hear them and not be afraid of the great Lord who is perfectly righteous. He has written these things down to approach us and to bring to us gently the truth. His word is the truth, so that we see his perfect righteousness and so that we see it becoming ours by faith. So that we see Jesus living that sinless human life that we could never have lived, and giving that life over on the cross, not just a human life, but God in the flesh, a divine life given for us to pay for our sins, a ransom price to redeem us from every last terrible thing that we've done. And when we see him rising from the dead in the Scriptures, isn't this a guarantee that he did what he said he would do? When he speaks, his words are not empty, but accomplish what he says. Because he's the highest authority that there is, when he speaks, all creation listens to him. And yet he's decided mercifully not to destroy us sinners, but to come to us mercifully, carefully, quietly, to not scare us away, so his word can be heard and it can be rejected for a while, but it's true. And on judgment day, he will speak, and every human being will rise from the dead, and every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is the Lord, that his will is right and true. He will say to those who received him, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come and inherit the kingdom prepared for you since before the foundation of the world." And to those who reject what he says in the Scriptures, he will say, "Depart from me, you evildoer." Together, all this means that there are different kinds of living. Some go about Christless, living but dead. Some go about Christian, dying to sin but alive to Christ. Take stock. Think about what this means for your life right now. If you would do this, if you would think about these things carefully, then you have heard. If this is meaningless to you and you don't care, then be warned. The Lord is returning soon. He's coming to judge the world. All who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. How will you live? How will you live your life? What is your life about? Is it about these dying things that are all around us, things that are perishing, things that will not last, false gods who would compel you and captivate you and enslave you? No, it's not about those things. It must not be about those things. Your life is wrapped up in Christ. Your life is in Him, the only true God. In your baptism, you were connected to Him so that His life is in you, so that your life goes the path that He went, so that you follow Him, passing through the tomb to eternal life. This is the only way. If you find today that you've been living for dead things because of the weakness of your flesh, turn away from that. Turn to God's Word. Listen to what He has to say. Hear Him right now so that when He calls out to you on that last day, you will be found in Him, spotless and blameless and ready for heaven. Remember that you have nothing to fear. He is Himself our judge, the one who gave His life for us, the one who loves us with a steadfast love that does not change. He will judge, and He's already judged you not guilty. He's already said, "I forgive you all your sins." That's the purpose of coming to church and hearing His Word, so that we know it by faith, even though our flesh is weak and would turn away from it. His Word has given you ears to hear with, so believe it and hold it dear. Then your life will have real meaning. Then you'll really be living because you'll live thankful to Him and desiring to serve those whom He served with His life. Fellow redeemed, you're no zombie. You're not a vampire, but a saint. According to the Scriptures, that means you've been set aside from this world to live eternally. You and all those who have heard and believed before you, beginning already now, you serve your Heavenly Father here. And you eagerly wait the day of His coming when He will call you home to be among the saints triumphant in heaven. This is certain. This is our hope. This is what God says. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.